For today, September 21st, and if we could, let's lead off with the flag salute. If you'd all stand, please.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Madam Clerk, can you do the roll call for us, please?
Councilmember Seves?
Here.
Councilmember Bennett?
Here.
Councilmember Easton?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Connell?
Here.
Mayor Onan?
Here. Is there a report from closed session?
No, there's no reportable action from closed session.
All right. Then we'll move into the public forum section of our meeting, and this is the opportunity for anyone from the public to speak to any item under the jurisdiction of the City of Goleta that is not on tonight's agenda. Do you have any speaker slips?
No, Mayor, I have not received any.
All right. I have no other requests for public forum, so we'll move into our actual agenda. And Madam Clerk, why don't you read item A1 for us?
A1, that's employee five-year plan.
And who is going to lead the way on this item? I know we're going to pin our city manager. Ms. Green?
Try and get me to turn red or something.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. This is a very unusual five-year pin because we've not had the opportunity to have our boss pinned yet. This is the first time a city manager has had the opportunity to receive a five-year pin here in Goleta, and it's a great day. From my point of view, I just wanted to add that Dan has been a great boss to work for. He's brought a stability to the organization, not just in how we do things, how we conduct business, but who we are as a team and as individuals. He's really been a great team player and taught many of us within different departments to work together as we grew and changed, and he's made a lasting impact on the culture of our city and our staff. And I think that says a lot when you think about how chaotic the early years were here in Goleta. And I can't say enough for what Dan has brought to us. And just to let you know, we all appreciate your sticking with it for 5 years through thick and thin.
Thank you.
And I know there's others who are...
So we would like to invite any of the other department heads here who would like to make a comment. Mr. Chase?
Boy, I think I heard the first several years were chaotic. I'm glad I missed those. this is really a special time for me. In the late 1990s, I returned to the Ventura County Board of Supervisors to work with them on a variety of special projects. And I drew an assignment. It was to go meet with the Community Services Director for the City of Ojai. And magically, we were going to create a transit system for the Ojai Valley. And the Community Services Director had a transit system going for the City of Ojai. I was sent up there to basically arm wrestle with him and extend it to the unincorporated area, which has the bulk of the population for that valley, and make darn well certain that it's a efficient system, that it serves a variety of demographic needs out there, and that it doesn't cost the county an arm and a leg. And what I found was a preeminent professional who basically could have taught me a number of things in my Master's of Public Administration classes, not only in terms of leveraging of funds, but in terms of creating a public momentum and a public outreach campaign that made it very popular, the thing to do for the students of the Ojai Valley, the places to get to for the middle-aged and elderly portion of the Ojai Valley, and for all the tourists. That individual is Dan Singer. I was then fortunate some years later to pick up the phone with him at the other end, and he said, you know, there's this Goleta thing. Why don't you come on over and see if we can team up again and try to get some things done. Dan, I'm glad I did. sign me up for the next time around also. Thank you.
I'm going to sign you up for the five-year pin you're going to get in about a year or
well,
so.
Well, that's dependent upon all of you, so thank you.
Mr. Giles?
It wouldn't be appropriate if you only heard from employees of Mr. Singer singing his praise. As one within the organization who works very closely with Dan but yet does not report to him, let me bring a more unbiased perspective. One thing coming from an outside the organization and having a familiarity with a number of professionals in municipal government, Dan Singer is well-known and well-respected for his position and his tenure, and what he has done here is reflecting a history that he has developed elsewhere and is recognized by many professionals, and it increases the visibility and the professionalism of the city of Goleta. Dan is also very flexible and willing to work with people. It's a unique situation that when I was brought in as the not only the first in-house city attorney within the city of Goleta, but also was the first in-house city attorney that Dan had worked with as a city manager, and yet was able to adapt to that very different dynamic in such a way that that I think has worked out well for the city. He has brought about an organizational culture change, which I think one of the other speakers mentioned, and I think that it all speaks well of Dan and his ability to meet the needs of the city, and congratulations on your 5 years.
Thank you. Any other speakers from the staff or the audience? If not, Mr. Singer, please report to the podium for your pinning.
I don't think I've ever been at the podium before.
I'm going to come back to you. We're going to come. We've gone through that phase, but we're going to come back to you.
Well, Mr. Singer, it is a pleasure to do this. And, of course, staff has prepared some notes for me. And rather than go through your history and your education, I wanted to discuss a few of your accomplishments here at the city. Obviously, the strategic plan, which I was fortunate to experience as one of your new initiatives and something that we've all embraced and used as a planning and guidance tool. The relationship building, the strong team that you brought to the city, the hires, the people you've brought in, and the advisors that you brought to us. Our creation and perpetuation of our annual State of the City event, which has been very positive for the community and an opportunity for the city to really connect to a greater portion of the committee or the community. We established a 2-year budgeting cycle. Oh my gosh. We thought once we did it that we weren't going to have to worry about it for 2 years. It does turn out to be a little different than expected, especially in this economic climate. And, of course, making public outreach a primary goal for the city, including the city alert system and our other communication tools. And for me personally, and I'm sure that some of the other council would support me on this, is what stands out most, having the opportunity to work with you directly, as all of us do as city council people, is the way that you lead. I'm not sure if I should call it atypical, but it's not necessarily the standard practices. You lead from a different perspective, and very refreshing, very effective. You lead with an emphasis on communication. You do that with us as council people, and I see you do it with your staff. Your compassion for the people you work with, for the people that are affected by the activities that the city takes on, and empathy for those people who have issues with what we're doing. But your leadership, the way you do it, to have the courage to lead from somewhere that you're connected to, I want to compliment you on that and congratulate you. You're effective. And I hope that to your next 5 years is equally as successful. So with that, I get to pin you. Mike. Consider yourself pinned. Dan?
As veto. As Vito would say, if he were able to be here, he'd say, sweet. Well, thank you. I wasn't prepared to speak, but you know that's never been a problem of mine to come up with some words to say. It's been a tremendous ride and a great experience for me. And most of all, I think the opportunity to really come into a young city, a new place, and help shape and influence the things that we do, the way we do it, and really having an impact on our community. And that's been a real treat for me. So I appreciate it. It's been a very fast 5 years. I don't know if the next five will go by as quickly or not. We've got a lot of challenges ahead, but I certainly stand up for those. And I want to thank the staff. This was unexpected, especially their comments and remarks. And I don't think I have enough cash in my wallet to give you guys each the dollar that you deserve. But again, thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And for council comments, we'd open the floor.
Well, I think I can claim to have been part of the council that hired Dan here.
I know you can claim
very
that.
Happy that we did, and because we hired him from a very chaotic situation where he was, through no fault of his own, but all kinds of environmental and other events in Ojai made it actually probably more chaotic than Goleta was at that time.
In many respects.
But we went through a very thorough process. I think we had two or three people we interviewed at least three times. And Dan clearly came out as the one who was most in sympathy with the direction that this council, the council then, and I believe the council now, wanted to go. And so I think we did good work. And thank you, Dan, for the good work that you've done since you've been here.
Other comments?
Sure.
Mr. Easton.
Go ahead.
Having shared a little bit of background, professional background, but not much, I was really looking forward to the experience to find out what really working with a city manager was going to be like and to see if that conform to my expectations. It has, and in spades. One of the things I most look forward to is the meeting every 2 weeks when we go over the agenda. We don't just talk about the agenda, we talk about the city, and I find somebody that I not only can talk to, but I can understand. That's one of the highlights of my council experience, and I thank you very much for it. I count on five more years because I'm counting on at least five more years.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Easton. Mr. Savas?
Oh, thank you. Well, Dan, congratulations on your five-year pin.
Thank you.
I know last year when I had the honor of being mayor, you and I sat down and created a pretty ambitious agenda, but you got the job done. We got a lot of work accomplished, and really proud of the work we did last year and the work you continue this year. One of the things we did was to bring the pinning ceremony to the council chambers. And we did that because we wanted the public to recognize the fact that our young city now has a number of employees that are now hitting that five-year mark. And so there's a reason why they're staying here. So the public needs to see and acknowledge that. So congratulations. We've had almost 4 years together. And
yep.
Like Mr. Easton said, I'd like to work another 5 years with you.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Savas. Mr. Bennett?
Yes. My comments would be pretty simple in the sense that it's been an enjoyable 4 years working with you, Dan. And I really do appreciate your leadership as previously been spoken. And I like the fact that things, for the most part, are very even keel, and we don't seem to have many crises. And I think that's attributable to your method of leadership, and I think that's real positive. So it certainly makes a difference in an organization. So it's been a pleasure working with you and have been a part of this organization with you at the helm. So keep up the good work, and I would certainly echo it would be a wonderful thing if you were here for the next 5 years.
Well, thank you. Boy, I think that should count as your annual review right there. We should just move on from it.
I'm completely satisfied.
All right. Well, thank you. We're going to move on. And if you'll indulge me, we are going to come back to the public forum session because we had a request to speak that arrived a little late. But Spencer Conway, if you would like to come forward.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Thank you for including doing that little shift there. I guess I came to speak because I was here 2 weeks ago when the long-range development plan was unanimously approved. I did go to the university. I did graduate in 1970, and I just wanted to say I don't think their plans are really compatible with the local environment as it is, and because I graduated as a geography major, which was studying land use and land management, pretty much, in the area. And the university, although they do have Nobel Prize winners and there are great professors out there, sometimes doesn't rub off on the administration. Because at that time, in 1970, they proposed putting the freeway through the slough area at the foot of the mesa there around the university and connecting the freeway into Los Caneros Road. And one of my professors, Norman Sanders, you may recognize the name from, he was one of the founding people of GOO, found out about this and we raised a big hullabaloo about it, and they canned that plan. And the thing, I guess, that why I mention that is because the last time I heard people saying here that, you know, the university, you know, we can't control them. They can do whatever they want, almost. Like they're you know, and they do have the power. I mean, you do not, and that's correct. But they're not omnipotent. In other words, they still have to serve somebody eventually. And in that case, sometimes public opinion will control the university. In that case, they have to drop a really ill-conceived plan. And they've had other things along the way that, like there's a development out near where I live that they built 100 feet off the plans. But anyway, but nothing was done about that because they did have the power. Okay, that's now I can't get to a lot of what I'm going to have to come back next time. But appreciate the opportunity. And probably what I was going to say about the environment, because I grew up and I've watched the environment here. I've lived here 50 years. So is this Joni Mitchell tune. You might remember, you know, take paradise, put up a parking lot, you know, and the sense of the message is you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Take paradise, put up a parking lot. So I just wanted to say I did want to speak about some personal experience in growing up in California for over 50 years. But I know that's a minute warning, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I'll have to come back another time if you don't mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Conway. All right. We'll let our clerk return, and we'll move on to our next item. Madam Clerk, if you read item A2 for us.
Santa Barbara MTD Annual Service Update.
All right. Ms. Schultz was leading us on this.
Well, we were anticipating there'd be a couple of members from MTD here. The council can move on with consent.
And that sounds reasonable.
I'll check in.
All right, Madam Clerk, let's go to the consent calendar. What do you need to read on that for us?
Okay, if I can go ahead and read B3, which is going to be a conduct second reading by title only and waive further reading and adopt ordinance number 10, next in order, entitled an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, repealing and reenacting section 2.01.080 of the Goleta Municipal Code relating to compensation of city council members. Item B5 is a resolution. That recommendation is adopt resolution number 10, next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, approving the application for grant funds from Habitat Conservation Fund Program. And in regard to need to read, that would be it.
All right. Thank you. Any requests from the council to pull any items off the consent calendar? Ms. Connell?
Well, I'd like to vote on B3 separately because I did vote no on the initial item.
All right. So we'll pull that item and we'll vote on that separately. Any other requests to pull? Seeing none, any motions?
Move approval of all B1 through B7 with the exception of B3.
Second. We have an approval on the second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Let's move to item B3. Ms. Connell, do you want to go ahead and make your comment on that?
Well, I voted no when this came before us at the last meeting. That's still my position, that I would oppose any increase in City Council member compensation, given that nobody else in our organization is getting any kind of increase this coming year.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I also voted no, and so for the record, I'd like that to show. And contrary to the article in the newspaper, who the person writing it obviously didn't know what he was writing about, misstating the entire issue altogether by those who voted yes and those who voted no, I'd like to reemphasize I did vote no. I encouraged the council not to bring it forward. Not only that, and then when it came forward, I voted no, and I'm voting no a second time.
All right. Any other further comments or motions?
I'll move approval of B3.
Second.
All right. Further discussion on B3? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Two opposed. All right, so that concludes our consent calendar. We don't have our representatives from MTD here yet. I haven't seen anyone come in. Do we need to make a change in our city attorney? You're all right, you'll step right in. So we're going to move into item C1, which is a public hearing. Madam Clerk, if you would read that item for us.
C1, a resolution approving a tax-exempt bond financing to be issued by the California Statewide Communities Development Authority to benefit Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital and affiliates.
All right, thank you. So we'll have a presentation before we go into public hearing. Who will?
Yes, Mary Jill Alonso, our management assistant, will be providing the staff report. And as she will mention, we also have representatives from Cottage Hospital and California Communities who can answer questions if needed, but I'll turn it over to Mary Jo.
Thank you.
Mayor and Council, the purpose of tonight's public hearing is to allow Cottage Health System and its affiliates to go forward with the bond issuance process. Cottage Health Systems has been working with the California Statewide Communities Development Authority, known as CSCDA, in order to issue bonds to promote economic development, including assisting in the financing of facilities for nonprofit organizations. In August of 2008, Council held a public hearing which allowed Cottage Health Systems to request that CSCDA issue bonds. A portion of those bond proceeds were to be used for the construction and replacement hospital on the existing campus of Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital located on Patterson Avenue. The CSCDA has recently received another application from Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital to refinance the rebuilding project through the issuance of tax-exempt obligations in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $310 million. There are no changes to the project, but this is a new request in order to refinance the current bond. Because neither CSCDA nor Cottage Health Systems are public entities, they cannot hold a public hearing on the bonds. The city, as a local jurisdiction, is required to hold a public hearing and approve the issuance of bonds since Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital is in the city's jurisdiction. The tax-exempt revenue bonds to be issued by CSCDA will facilitate project locations in Goleta and Santa Barbara. on behalf of the Cottage Health System. Both municipalities are required to conduct a public hearing per the Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act, otherwise known as TEFRA. TEFRA is required through the Internal Revenue Code that the proposed financing be approved by the government unit having jurisdiction over the area in which the project is to be financed. The City of Goleta is only facilitating the project for these entities. There is no fiscal impact to the City of Goleta associated with the bond issuance, and we have no financial obligation and incurred no financial liability. If the council choose not to conduct the public hearing nor adopt the resolution approving the issuance of bonds, such action could jeopardize the bond issuance process for the project. Michael Chin is representing CSCDA. He is here tonight. Also, Diane Wisby and Karen Jones, representing Cottage Health Systems, are here, and they can answer further questions on the project. This concludes my presentation, and council can now open the public hearing.
All right. Thank you very much. We will open the public hearing, and this is a public hearing to consider the issuance of tax-exempt bonds for the purpose of financing or refinancing the acquisition, construction, improvement, equipping, renovation, rehabilitation, remodeling of Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital located in the City of Goleta, California. The public hearing regarding this, the financing, is required by federal law. The public hearing is now open. We will now hear from any person who wishes to speak about the proposed financing. We have, I know, some representatives that we'll invite forward. I do not have any speaker slips specifically to this item. Madam Clerk, have we had any, is our clerk here? Have we had any written comments filed? I haven't seen anything.
I don't believe so, nothing that we've seen.
I do not believe there are any written comments that have been in filed at this point. So if we can have the representatives come forward.
Thank you, Mayor. Am I on?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay, good. We were here a couple years ago, and I want to thank you for your support back then. What we're doing today, actually hopefully closing in October, is to move the variable rate debt that we have for the two hospitals to fixed rate debt. We all know financially what's going on in the markets. Long-term rates are really very low. And so what we are considering taking the opportunity of is essentially fixing the interest rate on that debt. And again, the organization has been very thoughtful about the planning around both hospitals. We also want to thank you, by the way, for supporting the development of Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital. And it's actually very exciting because we've been, I think, prudent in the way in which we've structured the financing of these projects. And to the extent that we are using debt, so we are leaving some debt for our future generation for 30 years, and that's representing about a third of the project cost. We are using hospital investments and operating cash that we've generated to support about a third of the project as well. And we are very, very fortunate to have the Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital Foundation as well as the Santa Barbara Cottage Hospital Foundation support these projects to the tune of about a third of the cost. So we believe that we have a prudent structure, and really at this time, just redoing what we did a couple years ago in that crazy credit market that we all experienced with the economy as such in 2008, and essentially taking advantage of these low interest rates that we are seeing at this time. Any questions?
Any questions from council? Mr. Easton.
Can you tell us at this point what rate you got?
You know, that will be, these bonds will be sold around October 19th. And because we move to what we call a level debt service, such that our payments are pretty flat and the same roughly every year, we will have some very short-term bonds, so that are a year or two old, that'll be less than 1%. and then some of those long-term 30-year bonds will be higher. We believe we'll have an all-in cost of less than 5%.
Thank you.
Any other questions of council? All right, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Were there any other requests to speak? No? And we have no other written comments. So with
Mayor,
that.
I did have an opportunity to speak with the city clerk and confirm the fact that we did not receive any written comments.
All right. So without any additional requests to speak or other written comments, I am going to close the public hearing and come back to the council for deliberations. Mr. Easton.
I would make a motion, Mr. Mayor.
I would accept a motion.
I would move resolution number 10, next in series, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, approving a tax-exempt bond financing to be issued by the California Statewide Communities Development Authority to benefit Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital and affiliates.
Second.
Thank you. We have a first and a second. Any further discussion? No? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. And thank you. All right, so we're going to move to item D1, I believe, if I'm correct on our agenda. That's it. Madam Clerk, will you read item D1 for us?
Fiscal year 2009-10 year-end statement of revenue and expenditures.
All right, Ms. Rivera.
If I may just have a moment to bring up the PowerPoint here.
Please do. Thank you. Slight technical difficulty? All right.
We might need a little bit more than a minute.
Okay. Why don't we take a quick 5-minute break here, allow this to come up, and we'll be back as soon as we get this operating.
Hungered for mine, please don't explain, but show me, show me. Don't wait until wrinkles and lines pop out all over my brow. Show me, show me. Time, show me. Don't talk of June, don't talk of fall, don't talk at all, show me. Never do I ever want to hear another word. There isn't one I haven't heard. Here we are together in what ought to be a dream. Say one more word and I'll scream. Ooh, out in your arms, hungered for mine. Please don't explain, show me, show me. Don't wait.
In that short delay, but I think we have our technical problem solved. Ms. Rivera?
Yes. Well, it is my pleasure to report the results of fiscal year 9-10. Let me begin by stating that this has been by far the most challenging financially challenging year for the city of Goleta in its 8 years of incorporation. We will begin with the revenue performance for the year. This slide here, while it appears to have quite a bit of information, I want us to focus on the three items that we're presenting. The red represents the originally adopted budget, while the blue columns are the revised budget. As you can see, we made, as an organization, significant decreases in projections throughout this last fiscal year to end up with a revised budget of nearly $13.3 million. If we look at the green columns there, you will notice that, for the most part, we were right on the revised projections. Council adopted revised projections of $13.3 million. Actual revenues came in at about $13.4 million. Less than a 1% deviation overall. But again, I want to stress that this was as a result of nearly a $900,000 reduction in the original projections. to further elaborate the financial challenge in fiscal year 09, when compared to the prior fiscal year, there was a decrease of $1.4 million from one year to another. All revenue categories experienced declines, with the exception of property taxes, as can be seen in this chart. There were a couple of minor ones, fines and penalties and intergovernmental, but because of the small amounts, I don't believe are really relevant. I think the previous statement pretty much holds that the city saw declines in every category. Now, and when we move on to the expenditures for this last year, we can see that every department was within the their budgets. The yellow that you see in a couple of the departments, planning and environmental services and community services departments, that represents carryovers, while the green right below those two columns there represents actual. So when we add the carryover to the actual, every department was essentially right on target with their budgeted allocations. When we compare expenditures in the general fund to the prior year, you can see that all departments had expenditure reductions, with the exceptions of general government and public safety. We know that the public safety contract had an increase. That's reflected in this chart, as well as costs related to city attorney, the city attorney program within the general government. That is what represents any increases that you see within departmental expenditures.
Well, if Tina is done with the general overview, I'm going to take some time to go into some of the specifics, including actions that you will have coming up and potentially before you tonight. As you know, since we began the two-year budget process, as Eric had noted, as one of our accomplishments some 3.5 years ago, we also began the process of allowing carryovers for those projects and actions that the council had budgeted for and was expecting to be done, but which had not been completed at fiscal year end. You have a complete table of those in your staff report as attachment 3. And those carryovers total just under $550,000 from last fiscal year that we would carry forward into this fiscal year. What is new this year, however, is that you'll see on that sheet three particular items that we're recommending an additional allocation for. So rather than a positive carryover, there's essentially the backfilling of what would have been a negative ending balance for those line items. Those are summarized here as well as in your staff report. So these are expenditures that are already reflected in your ending figures. We're not presenting them because they're in addition to, but rather just because it's something somewhat new. We talked about this with your finance committee, made up of Mayor Pro Tem Connell and Council Member Aceves, and they felt comfortable, I believe, with those requests, and they can always speak to them as well. The first is for just over $70,000 in additional legal expenses. In other words, that the legal budget for the city went over by that amount. Rather than dipping into the litigation reserve that you created back in June, we're recommending that we use additional carryover money to essentially backfill for that amount. Similarly, there was just over $85,000 in building inspection and plan check services. There's almost a page of description and detail in your staff report, and Mr. Chase is here should the council have further questions about what those funds were for. But I'll summarize by just pointing out really three core components of how we got to that $85,000 of additional expenses. In the first place, let me remind you that back in March, we transitioned from in-house inspection services to a contract. And as part of that contract, a few things were spelled out. The first was to do some cleanup of outstanding permit activity. And that has cost some additional money as reflected as part of this $85,000. The second was that there was a higher than expected building permit activity. And you may recall that Wildan, our contractor, will get paid a percentage, 80%, of that activity. So on the positive side, that activity resulted in additional revenues. On the negative side, it also exceeded the budget that we had. And then finally, there were some billings from previous years that Wildan had caught as essentially as accounting errors that amounted, I think, to around $11,000, and we needed to reconcile those. When all that was put together, it comes to about almost $86,000. We're suggesting an allocation through the carryovers of that amount. I do need to note that that doesn't fully close out all of our obligations, and we anticipate that there'll be some additional charges this year. We're getting some details about that, probably in the neighborhood of about $25,000 of additional expenses. So I want the council to know this $85,000 doesn't necessarily complete all of those transactions. And then finally, the electrical costs for our street lighting fund went over the allocation we had by $17,500. So we turn now to just a general financial summary of how we performed, because a lot of what we presented is really fairly positive. As Ms. Rivera noted, revenues came out just above our revised figure, and expenditures came in within budget. But when you look at the total picture, you see that really our revenues underperformed our expenditures by close to $1 million, and that $958,000 was taken out of reserves in order to balance the budget. You'll recall that we had some unassigned, unobligated reserves somewhere in the neighborhood of about $1.3 million when we started this recessionary time about a year and a half ago. And that fund now sits at around $250,000. We've represented to you carryovers of $543,000, which will enable us to continue with a number of important projects and initiatives, many of which we're in the middle of at this time. And on the positive side, the unassigned reserves, which we thought at the end of the fiscal year would only be about $22,000, as I indicated, is really going to be about almost $270,000, although now adjusted by about $10,000 based on one of your consent calendar items in compensation for the contract amendment with the city attorney. So this really is about $260,000. Plus, as I noted, probably about $25,000 of potential additional Wildan expenses.
And just to clarify, that ending fund balance in the unassigned reserve is at the end of fiscal year 11, not fiscal year 10, because we have the council has made allocations in fiscal year 11 of that reserve.
So when we look at total reserve activity, you'll see that you still are maintaining your 33% reserve, essentially emergency reserve or contingency reserve of about $5.2 million. You have a number of specific reserves that you've created, many of which have policies with them, city hall acquisition, capital equipment, compensated leave, building maintenance, an insurance and risk management fund, then the $200,000 that you set aside for the Measure A maintenance of effort and $200,000 for a litigation defense. And then, of course, you have the unassigned reserve. And really, the only material change to all of these reserves is in the area of the unassigned reserve. So as we've noted, very positive thing is you'll now be at about $260,000 as a result of the adjustments that you made throughout this last year and where we closed the fiscal year. Now, we do have a number of outstanding funding issues, and they're addressed in the staff report, primarily on page 6 and 7 of your report. And all of these are items the council's aware of, and we would summarize it by saying that all of these are things that are very close to coming to you with greater detail. But let me just touch on them quickly. As we indicated to you in a memo passed out about a month ago, our insurance pool has indicated that we have additional liability of about $859,000. We'll have a presentation to that effect, probably at your second meeting in October. We'll invite the Joint Power Insurance Authority to come up and explain why these changes have occurred. And then it'll be up to the council on how you want to fund this $860,000 liability. And there's a number of options in that regard. And those are really policy decisions that you'll get to make at that time. As you're also aware, we've just completed a fairly comprehensive study of our existing public facilities, or what we've termed the facility reserve study. And the results of that are expected to come to you at your next meeting, or certainly no later than your second meeting in October. We believe at this point, based on the draft reports, that the impact financially is probably in the range of about $100,000 a year. But we haven't quantified that, and we're not prepared yet to make a recommendation to you, but expect that to be part of our report to you in October. And then there's the issue of the Measure A maintenance of effort, and I'm pleased to report, and I know if Mr. Wagner were here, he would be pleased to add to it, as Mr. Seviscan, Council Member Seviscan, since he was at the SB CAG board yesterday, and the first reading of a change in that ordinance occurred and will result in a positive recalculating for us about what that maintenance of effort level needs to be. So we look forward to analyzing for you what that means over the long term, but we believe at this time that the amount of money that you've appropriated for this current fiscal year looks to be probably sufficient. So we're not having to come to you and say, you need more money. I don't think we're yet able to say exactly how much we have to invest on an annual basis to achieve this annual average as part of the MOE. But we certainly do plan to return to you with that detail as we get our arms around it. Then the fourth item is permit tracking technology. This came about first identified when we did a management partners review of our planning process. And our staff has been actively pursuing what it might mean to do, just to jump into the new modern age and use new technology tools to help us with the tracking of permits, using even web-based systems to allow reviewing applications, and also, very importantly, the tracking of developer deposits and fees, so that we're staying on top of those expenses. We have already issued an RFP. We've gotten a chance to meet with a number of vendors, and we plan to bring a report to you with options for the council at your next meeting on October 5th. So once again, those are all right on the cusp of occurring within this next month. Finally, of course, as you're aware, back in July, the council authorized the necessary funding to extend the fourth detective position that we usually would have under our contract with the Sheriff's Department. You only did that through December. And so sometime between now and December, or at least between now and January, decisions will need to be made about whether you want to continue the funding for that position. There were comments certainly by the council at that time that part of the incentive to go 6 months and not a full year were because there were indications that there may be further negotiations with the Sheriff's Department employees as to additional concessions. I'm not able yet to report back to you on the progress of those discussions, but we certainly hope to do that. And our thinking was that we could come to you at your first meeting or second meeting in November when we come to you with our first quarter review and give the council further information. We would certainly like the council to be able to weigh in on that detective position essentially before December so that there's an appropriate amount of time to communicate with the Sheriff's Department on the continuation of that position. So I think that really summarizes most of the core issues with the closeout of this last fiscal year. Mr. Chase, as I mentioned, is here to address the Wildan costs. Ms. Rivera is able to address any other questions that the council may have. So we're here to respond to any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Singer, Ms. Rivera. Any direct questions on these items presented from staff? We do have a public speaker to this item, and then we'll come back after that for council deliberations. Any questions at this time for either member of our staff presenting?
Well, the question I have is what we're being asked to do tonight, and I'm sort of assuming it's accepting the adjustments to the budget, but not necessarily to be looking at any additional expenditures related to these carryover funds?
Correct. The staff recommendation is to make the three budget adjustments to fiscal year 11, and that is the extent of our recommendation at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Bennett?
I was a little confused when I read through the staff report as you presented this evening. This increase for the $85,000 for the building inspection and plan check services. My recollection is that the cost for those services are offset in payments. So that's why I'm confused with why that doesn't appear to be the case here.
So, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'll give an initial response, and I see Mr. Chase working his way up to the podium. As I described, the $85,000 is, and the staff report covers this, is made up of different components. So it's not all one expense. So you're correct that a portion relates to revenues received. So when revenues are higher than expected, so are the payments to Wildan. And that's a portion of what you have before you, I think.
It is $23,600 worth. That's approximately 28% of the $85,000. And if you'd like further detail on that, within the staff report, if you turn to page number 3 of the staff report, I can point you, when we look at the very first chart on page 3 of 8, you will notice that there is a line item fourth down for building permits. You will notice that the budgeted column is $235,000, whereas the actual is at $254,000, therefore a positive of $19,000. If you within that same chart, if you look at the second line item to the bottom, titled plan check fees, you will also notice that there was $120,000 projected in revenues for that line item and realized were $130,000. So that represents another $10,000, of which now Wildan would be entitled to receive 80% of the combination of those two figures in excess of projections. So that is part of the $85,000, and Mr. Chase can further expand on the other.
Good evening again, members of the council. In all cases, what we are talking about is fees have been received to cover these costs. The issue is, when have those fees been booked? Have they been booked in prior fiscal years or not? I'm going to give you three examples here that make up the $85,000. I would like you to turn to page 5 of 8 of your staff report, and I'll just briefly walk you through it. On this page, you'll see the $86,000 and the very what would be the first indexed bullet, higher than anticipated building permit and plan check activity. That is because we received plan checks and building permits for additional homes at the Bluffs. It is also because we received additional permit activity at PDL Labs, the large regional health systems lab that's being created in the old Verizon building across from Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital. It is also due to two very large tenant improvements that we received in business parks within the community. So again, fees were received and booked, and now expenditures are going out for the actual servicing towards those fees. The 80-20, there is no loss of revenue in that column to the city. And that is since the contract was issued with Wildan on March 2nd. The second bullet showing some $46,000 deals with aged permits. These are permits whereby the city has received the fees dating back to calendar year or fiscal year 2004-2005 for which the services were rendered this year. As you're well aware, in some cases, building permits can last 2 years, sometimes, although rarely, 3 years. This is a condition whereby the building permits were issued, some inspections occurred, but they were never finaled. We went at it to close the books on over 300 permits. We have, in essence, been able to close approximately 100 of those 300 aged permits dating all the way back to 2004. We had included in the contract that the Wildan would be compensated at an hourly rate for that work, and indeed they have been. We will be bringing to you a workout solution for the remaining balance, some 200 aged permits that are out there, when we bring back to you in October a contract amendment with Wildan, a contract amendment that will adjust the ratio from an 80-20 split to a 75-25 split. It will extend the contract we will recommend to you for a 14-month period of time, and Wildan will write down the cost of the remaining 200 aged permits and close them out by actually conducting the inspections between now and the end of the term of that. But that is not for tonight. That is an upcoming item in October. $46,000, again, is for aged permits whereby the city has received the fees, booked those fees, but the services were rendered in the fiscal year that we're attempting to close here. The third bullet. The third bullet is a reconciliation of invoices. In going back over the invoices for the current fiscal year, we found problems. And the problems we found were the accounting and invoicing system that Wildan was utilizing versus our Encode system. We found problems to the extent that we went back through invoices dating back to the 07-08 fiscal years. This is a reconciliation of all of the invoices for 07-08, 08-09, and now 09-10. We feel fairly secure that we will not be needing to reconcile further invoices dating back that far. We, as the city manager indicated, I learned just before coming in this evening, that we have a couple more invoices to look at, and we'll make those adjustments accordingly. When you draw a bottom line on all of this activity, we show an imbalance of approximately $4,900 for the entire 09-010 period. We're meeting the obligation that I made to you, and that obligation was it said we would be net even. We would not cost the city for the increased level of services that this contract provides. We are playing catch-up over a number of years for which the city booked revenue, and now the services are being provided in an attempt to close out age permits once and for all. What we're really trying to do is reset the baseline so we never return to this position again.
Can I answer your question, Mr. Bennett? Any other questions for council? Mr. Aceves?
Just one question from Ms. Rivera. As I recall in the Finance Committee meeting we had, the $500,000 that we had approximately positive cash carryover, we're carrying over to fiscal year 11. And these three items were a negative we're going to carry over into 11 to be paid for by 11 funds. Is that the way I remember it?
They are being carried over as negatives, and the allocations that are being recommended tonight would offset those. But they are not being paid out of fiscal year 11. The expenditures are already reflected in the expenditure figures for fiscal year 09-10.
So, in other words, it reduces. The $550,000 you have in carryovers would be higher if you didn't recognize these three offsets. But then we would also be over budget by that amount.
Okay, so if we didn't make the allocation, then we'd have a higher cash, excess cash account.
No. If you didn't make the allocations, in fiscal year 11, the departments affected would not have those allocations to spend. It would reduce their allocations. So by the end of fiscal year 11, you would have extra cash. You would not have extra cash as of June 30th, 2010.
Okay. And that's where I am a bit confused. My understanding is when we went into the two-year budget cycle, we were allowing our directors to manage their accounts over a two-year period so that if they went over the first year, they can make it up the second year and vice versa.
Correct.
So essentially that's what we're doing now.
That's what we're doing with the understanding that in these three situations, there is not an ability within the departments to make those types of cuts without significant impact to the operations of those departments if these allocations in the next year are not granted.
Well, or one of the choices would be like the litigation reserve. I mean, the excess in litigation, we could take it from the $200,000 that we set aside just for litigation.
That is correct. That is definitely an option.
Okay. I thought that's what you'd set it up for, instead of taking it from the cash account. All right, those are my questions.
Mr. Easton.
I had a question for Mr. Chase. Sorry to make you get up. Those permits, sounds like they're dead permits, like they're old permits and they're going away, or are they just they haven't been inspected and written as approved?
It is the latter. Oftentimes, it could be as simple as a plumbing permit was taken out and simply the party did not call for a final inspection, all the way to a room addition whereby we went through fairly elaborate plan check. We went through the foundation inspection. We went through the framing inspection, but we ultimately didn't do the final inspection to allow for occupancy. We are actively soliciting those parties to conduct the final inspection voluntarily with them, and just to get it done, get the paperwork done, give them the occupancy permit, and move forward.
Any other questions from council? Seeing none, we're going to call our public speaker forward, Bob Wingnut. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. Good evening. I submitted a comment letter, and it appears that the action I was requesting in the comment letter has been overtaken by events. I just wanted to relate that shortly after submitting the letter to the city clerk's office, I had a conversation with Planning Director Steve Chase, and he advised me that the videotaping and broadcasting of DRB meetings can be accomplished this fiscal year within the existing planning department budget. So there really isn't a need for allocating unassigned reserves to do that at this time. However, I guess I would ask that the council budget in future fiscal years to videotape and broadcast the design review board meetings as you're doing for council meetings and for the planning commission. That one of the priorities of the city should be to budget to provide multiple points of contact for public to get information, and this would include watching live broadcasts and rebroadcasts, being able to go on the city website and look at Granica's video of design review board meetings, as they can do for council meetings and planning commission meetings, and as well as the traditional way of going to City Hall and looking at hard copies of staff reports and agendas and meeting minutes. So I guess the necessity of what I was asking you to do has indeed gone away for this fiscal year, but I would encourage you to budget for broadcasting or for videotaping and broadcasting of DRB meetings in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wingnut. All right, I don't believe we have any other public speakers, so.
Mr. Mayor, can I make a comment on what he said?
Certainly.
Having been a member of the Design Review Board, I'm uncomfortably aware of its lowly status in city government. I don't think we appreciate the Design Review Board enough. And I say that because to a very, very significant degree, how Goleta is going to look over the next 50 years is going to be the responsibility of the Design Review Board. I can't tell you the number of architectural, excuse the term, abortions that I saw while I served on that body, and that this that body dealt with effectively, diplomatically, and carefully. They make projects get better. They don't just say no. So I just hope we don't lose sight of the impact that this small organization that meets very quietly and very dutifully, it doesn't get in the papers, but the impact that it makes on our city, that's absolutely necessary to make it be the kind of city we want to see, because it deals with what we see. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Easton. All right, so we're coming back to council now for deliberations or motions. Mr. Sevis, I saw you going for the mic.
Well, I was just going to pick up what Councilmember Easton just said. You know, we now have all these yellow signs going up with different projects around town, and it would certainly be an educational opportunity for a member of the public to see a project that they've been watching or they knew about live on television or on tape broadcast. And also, it's a great educational opportunity for those that are contemplating starting a project and to see what the process is, to become comfortable with it. I think it's a missed opportunity if we don't televise it. So I would certainly support getting that on television.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Ben.
I'm just slightly confused because unless someone corrects me, right now we never, ever have broadcast DRB meetings. And as I recall, there was a good reason for that. And the reason was we had no way, we did not have the equipment to properly display the very thing you said. Let the public see what's going on. Let them see what the elevations look like. Let them see what the floor plans might look like. Because unless you can see those things, they can talk all day about the plans and be staring at the plans and looking at them, but the people will never see that. Now, have we spent the money and corrected the ability to display the plans, or is this something in the future that we've already budgeted that I've forgotten about that is coming forth, or how is this going to occur?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about an operational item this evening. We, through a combination of things, number one, through discussions with Granicus, with price reductions, with cost savings, with fewer Planning Commission meetings and fewer Design Review Board meetings programmed for this fiscal year, are in a position whereby we can enter into both a contract with Granicus and a contract for the television live and rebroadcast services. We intend to begin that with the October 26th meeting of the Design Review Board. Now, specific to the question that Councilmember Bennett has posed, as we do with all of our DRB meetings over the past several months, we're requiring that all of the sheets of the plan sets are also provided to us to make them PowerPoint ready. So what we are doing now during the DRB meetings is not only do we have the table out here for the public to go through the plan sheets, we are also placing on both of the screens up here as part of the PowerPoint screens the ability to go through the not only the elevations but the color charts, the material boards, etc. That, with the addition of the cameras, we believe will create a DRB meeting whereby the information does get out, and we're going to learn as we go, but we want to provide a quality presentation. Of course, we'd love to see a camera right up there coming straight down onto the plan set sheet and discussion table that's placed right in front of the DS here for the DRB meetings, but that's for a future day. But we believe that with the PowerPoints of all plan sheets, the color boards, material boards, et cetera, that it's worth a go, if you will, of expanding our coverage to include DRB. One other thing, and I think this is critical to this discussion. We're not only looking at having this on TV and then having it rebroadcast, but we want it available such that any party anywhere in the world can pick it up with their laptop through the Granicus system, or pick it up with an MP3 player, or pick it up with an iPad. We are prepared to go forward with that on a, what do I call it, a trial basis, a test basis, such that, again, we have, I think, as Bob had indicated, multiple points of access for people to at least see what's going on. Final thing I wanted to say. My staff, in particular, Mr. Ling of my staff, for several years, because he's working with homeowners, so we're not talking big research parks or developers, but just single family homeowners, sometimes a townhouse, where they're looking for a modification, and it could be anything from closing a balcony to adding a room or whatnot. My staff has made it a practice. I want them to get the credit for this, of not only inviting parties to come on in, but to sit with them a meeting or two ahead of time before their particular item comes up, so that they're not frightened by the proceedings that are here. They understand how those proceedings work. Now any party within Goleta, be it a budding applicant or be it a budding architect, will be able to pick up these proceedings. So we see value in that. We're using the rest of this fiscal year, if you will, on a trial basis, a test run basis, such that we get it right. I think the very first thing that Dan Singer said to me when Michelle and I approached him with the finances and how to pull this off, he said, make darn well certain that this is of high quality, that it really does count, that it's effective, that it draws people to it. That is our goal. We may have to tinker with it a bit, but we want to give it a try. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to it. I'm excited. I really am. So.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask the city manager a question?
Ms. Connellsford.
Well, I'm sort of responding to Ms. Reason's comments that the DRB seems to have a rather lowly status. I think actually being on TV, that's going to raise their profile significantly. I'm astonished at the number of people who tell me that they've seen the council on television. I kind of wonder, well, what are people doing with their evenings? So anyway, the channel surfers are going to hit on DRB now as well as Council and Planning Commission. But I think the thing that we tend to forget is, I mean, there are many decisions made at DRB which are final decisions. Some of them move up, but there are many, many decisions that are final, and they are a significant and important part of our organization.
Thank you. Mr. Seves?
Well, first of all, Councilman Easton, I disagree. I don't think the DRB is a lonely. I think they're a critical component of this organization, and they're important. I know in the manner of which you meant it. But, you know, when I first came on council, I sat on this city hall.
Space Needs Committee, I think we called it.
And I recall there was money set aside. And in fact, I think we still have equipment to enhance this room's capability. And one of the things that we were contemplating was actually putting that camera right here so that it could show the documents being presented. Isn't that the fact? Do we still have the money set aside for it, and do we still have the equipment to get that done?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, and council member Aceves is correct. Not only were some pieces of that equipment purchased, but others have money set aside for them, which I think speaks to Councilmember Bennett's concern. We have been holding off on the implementation of some of that because we've been expecting to do improvements to the council chambers. Now, as a part of the decision the council made back in the spring, I think it was about, no, maybe it was more long ago than that, but you reinitiated your lease agreement with Bermant Development Corporation, our landlords, and as part of that, a tenant improvement allowance was set aside that's going to allow us to move ahead with these council chamber upgrades. So in addition to the physical changes, the technology improvements that Councilmember Aceves is talking about will be put in place. The current Space Needs Subcommittee of the Council, Councilmember Bennett, Councilmember Easton, will be meeting in a couple of weeks, and we'll have a chance to look at three of the architect's options that lay out a new council design with a flexibility in this room, not just to have a raised dais, but then to also have a staff table that can turn into a multi-use table for the design review board, whereby that camera you're talking about and the other amenities needed to really enhance the public's viewing of a design review board meeting could occur. That's our goal. As I think a number of you know, I'm not a proponent of airing messy meetings. And the concern has been that the design review board process is a very interactive, hands-on process. And while we want the public to have exposure to that and see all the advantages of it, we want to do it when we know we've got the equipment and the tools to do it so that it's appreciated by the public, as opposed to them thinking they can't understand anything or follow anything that's going on. So we're very close, and we're looking forward to that launch soon.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Easton.
I'll take responsibility for holding that process up because on getting on that committee, I took advantage of my architectural qualifications to point out that I wanted a council dais that allowed us to talk to one another and not simply to talk to an audience. And so the redesigns that are happening and will come to us will hopefully allow the kind of dialogue that we can have right now, not just make speeches to an audience that may or may not be there.
Thank you, Mr. Easton. Now, if I can pull us back to our task at hand, we have the pending closeout of fiscal year 09-10, and we certainly have opportunity for further council deliberation or motion. And Mr. Bennett, looks like you...
Yeah, I'm prepared to make a motion if there's no further discussion.
Please do.
I would move that we adopt resolution number 10 next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, amending the city's operating and capital improvement budget for fiscal year 2010-11.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mr. Aceves.
I'm not going to support the motion because of the legal expense. We set aside $200,000 for this fiscal year to cover litigation expenses, and that's where the money should be coming from, not from the cash fund.
All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
4-1. All right. We have conclusion of our last discussion item. We'll move to council comments, committee reports. Do I have a volunteer on a committee report?
Well, we did have a finance committee meeting, but I think that we've heard all the things that we discussed at that meeting tonight, so I don't know that you need further report on that.
Thank you. Mr. Eason?
Last Friday featured Beacon's September meeting, during which time we talked about a number of things. The primary one that we are going to be talking about again in a hopefully more substantive sense, the state has now dropped the ball on plastic bags. And of all the polluting things that affect our beaches, plastic bags are perhaps the most significant. And so if another council member might join me and we might bring that subject to, if not the council, to the resolutions, the ordinance committee, as a possibility, we might begin to exercise some leadership, which I think will be followed by the City of Santa Barbara and Grant House, who is their delegate to Beacon. It was pointed out during the course of the discussion that under the Joint Powers Act, Beacon actually has the capability to forbid the use of plastic bags. But as the saying goes, how many divisions does the Pope have? And we thought it much better done by the participating municipalities. County does apparently not have any intentions of moving in this direction.
All right.
May I ask for another council member?
I'm sorry, you're asking for what? A ban or some sort of charge for?
A ban on one-use plastic bags.
And a staff report or staff investigation of that issue.
Right.
I mean, really, that's what we're... Mm-hmm. We're asking.
I can certainly support looking into it. I think there's a lot of ups and downsides to how you implement it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't begin to suggest otherwise.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, just as a clarification, then Councilmember Eason, will Beacon be doing some of that research and developing a sample ordinance and that kind of thing? Or are you asking for our staff and our ordinance committee to... put that in the list of
I would put it on the list what Beacon is going to do after the next meeting, which is 2 months. I don't know, but we, all of the cities that belong, are concerned with the lack of state action and wondering what they can do to take care of their beaches.
Then we will put it on the list that the ordinance committee. Oh, city attorneys reminded me that the protocol we've used is that the full council then discusses it first. But we'll look forward to any further reporting from you about any activities that Beacon takes up.
Absolutely.
All right. I would ask in that investigation that we carefully cover the potential legal issues, because my recollection is there were threats for those cities that adopted the illegal bags, and everybody backed off of that to take it to the state legislature, which, of course, makes the most sense, because then it would be a statewide issue and resolved statewide, as opposed to, if we're talking about doing something in the city of Goleta, the county doesn't do anything, so you can go to Bonds on Turnpike or Ralph's at Magnolia. I don't know what effect we're going to have, and I think we need to get everybody on board if we're going to do something. And I just, my recollection is that the Chemical Institute or somebody was either threatening or already had started lawsuits against communities that had banned them, and then they went forward in the legislature and were the responsible ones for having the legislation dropped because they lobbied against it.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, that would be our typical protocol, is that for initiation of an ordinance, one council member gets concurrence to have it placed on an agenda for future discussion. This wouldn't be an obviously appropriate time to discuss it. We haven't noticed it for discussion tonight. Staff at that point in time will bring back only a cursory investigation, but we will look at all sides of this. Some of the issues, we're certainly familiar with the threats of litigation, the litigation that has gone on statewide, some of the issues on both sides of that. We will bring that back then for the full council to do an initial vetting as to whether or not you want staff to move forward with a more complete investigation and development of an ordinance, but that's, staff will only do that upon concurrence of the full council. What we have today with two council members is an opportunity to place this on an upcoming agenda for full discussion, and we will provide you some level of information that you'll be able to conduct that discussion.
Thank you. Okay, so we're in council comment period, obviously, so let's see who else would like to make a council comment.
I do have one comment. I attended the Radius Group's economic forecast last week, and a couple of interesting things came out of that. One is that people are saving money. Savings have gone way up, while, of course, spending has gone down. But also, you know, the amount of credit out there, I mean, you know, debt, if you will, has gone down while savings have gone up, which is an interesting consequence, I guess, of the economy. The other issue that was interesting to me was that more people, a lot more people are renting now than are seeking to own a home, and that this may be a future trend, and that one of the consequences of that is that there may be investment money available for building of rental properties. And I think we can all remember Mr. Tobes saying that nobody will, he's the only person building rental housing because nobody will invest in it. It looks like, at least at the moment, that may be changing. So that was a couple of interesting items that I got out of it. And it's going to be interesting. We have the Goleta economic forecast coming up this Friday, I think. So it'll be interesting to see if they say the same thing.
Thank you. Other council comments? Mr. Savis?
Just a couple, Mr. Mayor. You know, this week we received our 26th monthly status report on the Fairview Gardens. And, you know, although I love to read their updates, I'm just concerned about the amount of work that our staff has to do to get this done, to get this to all the, I mean, it's sent to the entire, I mean, it's sent to the whole City Hall, basically. And I can't remember if this was done at a council request or was it part of the development agreement with the gardens. And if it was a council request, I would look to have this reconsidered to see if we really need to continue this. And I'm not sure. I don't know what the answer is on that one.
Mr. Mayor, we can certainly look into that and report back and maybe either move to a quarterly or biannual or annual report if it was something that was just encouraged as opposed to specified by the council. If it was specified, we would return to you or could return to you.
Great. I would support Councilperson Aceves on
investigation.
I'd
love to find that out. That's, I mean, it's they're doing great work, but we're causing them a lot of work by this extra piece. And just briefly, yesterday at the SBK, it was mentioned earlier about the MOE. We were successful in getting that forward, and that's going to help our city in the long run as far as the five-year average of our maintenance efforts. The second part is that we move forward with green gas emission restrictions with a zero emission as a goal. And that's going to cause Mr. Chase and his staff a lot of work in the future as far as we do a lot of our planning to make sure that we have we try to reach that goal. And I'm sure that we're probably going to be able to exceed it. This was a very lengthy discussion we've had for a number of months now. The original recommendation, or one of the recommendations that we have, as much as a 8% reduction, and on the other end it was a 6% increase. So you can see what a wide range of debate there was, but it came back to zero, which. I think it's very positive, and I think our community is going to benefit from that direction from SBK. So that's my report for today.
Thank you. Any other council comments? Mr. Bennett?
I spent last week in attendance at the annual League of California Cities annual conference, and council gave direction to not support the Inland Empire's request to support the proposition that's on the ballot. Yeah, that it was an opposition to AB 32 and SB 375, and I'm happy to report that as it turned out, actually their resolution was voted down by the body. So there is nothing coming out of League of Cities in regards to any negative impacts on that issue, and so the league will remain as we have been all along. So that's the good news, and that turned out to be a pretty exciting opportunity that took about 2.5 hours of the afternoon to get that issue resolved. So it was interesting.
All right, thank you. Everyone's had an opportunity to comment. Mr. Manager, any comments or information?
I too was at the league conference, the two major themes of that conference being the league's own proposition, Prop 22, which will be on the November ballot. And as you can imagine, a lot of attention being given to that, as well as the impacts of the city of Bell and the ripple effect from their activities on other municipalities and on pension systems and whatnot. You know, as each layer of that onion over there was being peeled away, it went from kind of atrocious salaries to then really unethical actions and now clearly very illegal ones. And so it's brought me a little bit of pleasure to see this morning's news that 8 members of staff and council were arrested, and that there are charges being pressed on all of them, both civil and criminal charges, because it is clear from the experiences being shared at the conference that one city and their neighbor, city of Vernon, have really poisoned the well. I think that the public sector profession is really a noble profession. It's one of giving back, and their actions have really tainted people's perceptions about local government. And it's just nice to see really how extreme their actions were. It's not nice to see that, but it's nice to know that it's not the norm. And I hope the public will continue to follow what we do here and see the positive benefits of local representation. Just two other quick comments. We got a nice little certificate from the U.S. Census about our efforts to participate in the 2010 count. I'll pass that around. As you know, we really went above and beyond in making sure that we had good education and outreach, especially in our underserved populations. And I'm proud of those efforts. And it was nice to get that acknowledgement. The census is now done for our community, and we're looking forward to the reporting that will take place probably in the spring of this next year, since it'll be Goleta's first opportunity to know what our population comes out at. And then finally, just again, a thank you to all of you for the commendations and comments. It has been a great, great 5 years for me.
Thank you, Mr. Singer. Mr. Giles.
I also attended the league conference last week, had an opportunity to receive a number of updates on legal issues relating to municipal law and maintain, stay current on all of those issues so we can provide you with the most up-to-date legal advice. I wanted to also bring you just a quick update on a couple of litigation matters facing the city. The Guggenheim rent control case is obviously still pending with the Ninth Circuit. We don't look for a result from that until probably first of the year, judging solely on how they've been turning around other decisions based on banc panels. That's obviously something that is being watched closely by other municipalities throughout the state. Had quite a few questions about that at the league conference. As you'll recall, about a month ago, we had the hearing locally on the challenge by the tenants to the decision to convert the park. That decision has not been rendered yet. We had a meeting this morning with the judge. There are two new conversion cases that were just handed down a couple of weeks ago, and the tenant's attorney wanted to bring those to the court's attention and brief those, and which may further delay a decision from the judge. I'm not sure the real point of that, because both of those decisions fell directly in line with the action taken by this council and would support what the council did. So we're continuing to defend the council's decision in that respect, and we will await the judge's ruling. We will have another hearing on that in October, and she has indicated that she would not have had a decision out as she's engaged in trial currently. So we'll be looking for that, and we'll advise not only the council but the public as well when that decision comes down. And those were the only comments I had, other than to thank the council for your confidence in renewing the contract for the city attorney's position. I'm glad to continue to serve in that role for you. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that wraps us up for this evening. Meeting adjourned.